Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do a round of Hollywood hand-me-downs. We're going to guess on some of these big-ticket Hollywood auction items. And then a very spirited news coming up. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% off. You can do it on car insurance, motorcycle, RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So it's an extra 15 on top of the discounted Geico already. So what are you waiting for? Go to Geico. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com and learn more at geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, this is KC from Portland, a.k.a. The Spotter. Just wanted to know, peeing on your girlfriend in the shower, hilarious, obviously. She doesn't find it as hilarious. Wanted to see where you stood on this and if you've ever tried it yourself. Thanks.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Oh, yeah, The Spotter. It was a male cheerleader who does some spotting and then pulled my balls. I think we were in Portland. It's a rite of passage in any relationship where the man gets to pee on the girl. I have a rich history of being peed upon in places where it wasn't kosher. So the shower, the ocean, places like that don't sound like much to me. Women, not an aphrodisiac, right, Gina Gran?
No, not into it. Tolerate it sometimes if you're really in love. Otherwise, that could be a deal breaker, even though you are in the shower.
Yeah. So I think my thing is there isn't much upside, and there is a large potential downside. Do you know what I mean?
Indeed.
Unless you're there to mark your territory and you're going to run into her at a party like, 14 years later and she's got her kids and she's been married to a dude for 9 years and you go, oh, yeah, I remember her leg. But anyway, now who sounds drunk? Should we do the items, Max Zapata? We have an intro.
It's time to find out, how much did they pay in another round of Hollywood hand-me-downs? All right, let's begin with Harrison Ford's Indiana Jones stunt bullwhip from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh.
Stunt bullwhip.
So I should say that we've played this in the past where we'd show three items to you guys at the same time, and then you would guess, and then which was most expensive. We're going to do Rotten Tomatoes rules this time, so we just want a number, and we'll add up all the differences.
So used in the movie,
this
on
was used
camera.
In stunt sequences throughout the movie.
Wow.
Did Harrison Ford hold this whip, or did his stunt double hold this whip?
No, I don't know. See, this is always the problem. Yeah. But, when they're showing him, they got to be close on him. I'm looking at a picture of him now holding it.
Didn't you acknowledge that was called the hero whip or the hero gun or whatever?
Well,
that was the one that had for close-ups.
Yeah, well, they'll have like a hero car. If you're doing 10 miles driving a GT40 at Le Mans, there'll be a hero car, like the one that looks good. And then there's the one that's getting all dirty and screwed up. And like I said, there'll be in the movie Le Mans, the Steve McQueen movie, they had like a hero watch. They had one that like was always in perfect shape. And then the one he wore when he was driving. And there is that. I don't know that there's a hero bullwhip. I feel like that's just... They probably had three bullwhips and used them all. So let's just call it the one he used in the movie and say, it's always tough because some of this stuff is way more than you'd think and others is surprisingly cheap. I will go with $80,000.
Holy shit. I went significantly less than that. So this is not in the top half of Indiana Jones movies. And I don't know for sure that he actually touched it or used it. I went way low, 4K.
Interesting. I felt the same way Brian did. I feel like it's iconic. It's an iconic role, but it being not from Raiders, frankly, I think it falls off a lot. I said 10K.
Oh, we didn't use it in Raiders?
Well, this is from Temple of Doom. This is the second Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, I thought he always used one. Sad. What do you think, Dan?
No, he does always use one.
Oh, this is from the second one.
This is not iconic. Not as iconic of a movie.
The first thing I think is this is the least buzzed I've been on one of these segments, and I'm thinking it's directly traceable to the fact that Ace isn't drinking.
Correlated.
I feel like we've toned it down a little bit in deference to him.
I don't feel that
just
way.
Just saying. But I'll keep drinking through this segment. All right. I'm going to say, what did you say, Brian? $10,000?
I said 4K. I went real
low. No Price is Right rules.
Yeah. You got to write
your rules. $10,001.
$80,000?
Yeah.
Auction. Now, I'm going to say $15,000.
The stunt bullwhip from Temple of Doom went for $15,000.
Wow.
Dan Dunn.
Interesting.
Dan
Dunn.
Cheers to you.
That's minus $5 for Dan Dunn.
Dan's going first next time.
I'm having a shot of Espolone just for that. Here we go. All right.
Next we have Chris Evans. Captain America Distressed Vibration Stunt Shield from Captain America, the First Avenger. It was used in battle scenes where Captain America was under heavy fire.
Adam, you've obviously seen this a few times.
I'm fine with these movies. I like the Avengers and all that. I loved the first Iron Man, maybe the second Iron Man.
First one's really good. We saw that together.
Really good. Oh yeah, it was really good. All right. A lot of nerd, a lot of deep pockets in the nerd world. I feel when you get into the superhero-y kind of stuff, the price goes up. All right, is everyone ready? No?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
I got to go big. 65.
I went lower again at 20K.
Me too. I said 18K.
I'm going to say $32,000.
The stunt shield from Captain America, the First Avenger, was sold for $75,000.
Wow.
Shut your face up.
The nerds,
Adam,
man.
You look big.
The nerds.
$75,000.
What'd you say, Adam?
I said 65.
Oh, man.
Next up, we have Darth Vader's screen-used helmet.
Oh, boy.
From Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Just the Hulk.
It was worn throughout.
Is there a
the
number
film.
High enough?
Yeah, that's
talk about
that's,
nerds in deep pockets.
It's about as good as it gets.
So what do you get? You get the helmet and the face mask and the whole
looks like
enchilada.
The
wow.
Stink of James Earl Jones.
That's
the
right.
Scent of him.
Kevin Prowse.
Smell yeah, James exactly.
And wait, that, James Earl Jones did not wear the mask. It was actor David over. Prowse throughout the film.
Oh, that guy.
Right. And he wasn't aware that was going to happen, right?
No, after the first one, he got the hint. After he saw the first one.
Okay.
So this one was worn in which ones?
Empire Strikes Back, the second of the original movies.
Okay. Well, it's got to be a lot.
One with the snow
Max Zapata, how are we scoring this? That the combined, like whoever's points or whoever's dollar amount is the
golf rules.
Golf rules. Oh, the number.
Rotten Tomatoes rules. Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes rules. Yeah. So I'm just entering the actual total and then whatever you guys are saying.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's tallying
Sorry.
Up the differences.
All right. Geez. I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, if Kurt Cobain's guitar is $6 million, what do we?
Yeah, this is.
No. Well, first of all, one of the most famous, I would argue the most famous scene or line in any Star Wars movie was when Darth Vader reveals that he's Luke's father.
Spoiler alert.
And that happened in this movie with that helmet on. That's got to add $1 million to the price, I think, right?
All right.
I'm curious for geeks. Right?
You ready? Yeah. Everyone locked in?
Yep.
$2.3 million.
I played it safe and won $1 million.
$1.5 million.
I'm going $4 million.
Wow. Darth Vader's helmet from The Empire Strikes Back was sold for $898,420.
Wow. I needed that.
God. I was going to say,
how long ago was that? That's off by $1 million. These are all fairly recent, right?
2019.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It's fairly recent. All right.
Next up, Don Adams, Maxwell Smart, signature shoe phone from Get Smart. It's the vintage original shoe phone prop used during filming.
It's going to upset me because this is not going to go for that much. And I love this show. Lots of good comedy in it. And it held up, like the Mel Brooks, Buck Henry. Just very different and irreverent, and Don Adams was great in it, and Barbara Feldman, I think, was 99 and very cute in this. All right, this isn't going to go for that much, but there's a group that's clinging to life that probably gets it. I'm going to say... $2,300.
I'm right there with you. $2,000.
$3,500.
Well, if I could make up that $300 on Brian after the $1 million I just gave away, that would go a long way.
Is it 4G compatible, the shoe phone?
It's literally a rotary phone on the bottom of a shoe.
Well, that brings it down. I'm going to go $1,800.
The Maxwell Smart shoe phone was sold for $12,000.
Oh,
wow.
Not too shabby. That was a big part of that show. I mean, he'd go for that shoe phone all the time. All right.
Finally, the Jupiter 2 spaceship filming miniature from the Lost in Space from 1965. 48 inches in diameter. Features an articulating landing gear and the landing sequence with original fusion core atomic engine wired with 30-plus small incandescent light bulbs crafted out of fiberglass and wood.
Lost in Space. First off, being a modeler was a real job back then.
Like, oh, yeah.
You'd making all those miniature – how about just all the miniature ships, like, for battles and wars, you know, like, you know, all that towns that Godzilla was going to step on, you know?
I know you're not into Star Wars for a good reason, but Tessa's now really into it, so we're rewatching the original movies. Those are all miniatures, at least in that first movie. That is some real craftsmanship, some artwork, really.
Yeah, I love that stuff. All right, so Lost in Space was that crazy movie where, like, the family was just in space, and then they had that crazy, cowardly, gay, kind of pedophile uncle who was up there with them, which is a weird character. It was a bizarre character. I mean, he was clearly gay, but in the closet, hated that, like, the young boy, and was just a coward. And I don't know if you guys ever saw an episode of Lost in Space. I don't even know the guy I'm talking about. If you could find... I don't know what that actor's name was. He was like the uncle in Lost in Space, and he was always that kind of guy. Who's like, oh, we're in trouble. This is never going to work. Oh, you know, take the boy, not me. You know, and throw him away.
His name was Dr. Smith.
Yeah, Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith. I don't know his real name, but his name on the show is Dr. Smith.
Yeah, his real name is Jonathan Harris.
Okay.
Is he straight? Is he gay? I mean, he's got to be dead. But what I'm saying is you can you find a clip of that guy talking in Lost in Space?
We'll look for it. And Harris was married to his childhood sweetheart, Gertrude Bregman, from 1938 until his death in 2002. Right. They had one child.
It was a different time.
Gertrude Beardman.
Happy Pride, everybody.
yes. Yeah. Was
this one with the robot, the Danger Will Robinson?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So this actual thing, I don't know if we're going to make up $1 million on Bald Brian with this thing, but this thing can't be more than $5,000. Although it's 4 foot across. It sounds pretty good. I'm going to say...
Oh, hold on.
Are you going to...
Lost in Space. Who cares?
They made a feature.
Indeed.
All right, you ready?
Yeah,
$6,500.
You can might get $500 on me because I got $6,000.
I got $6,500.
Mm. Wow.
I'm going to say $17,000.
Wow.
Wow. The Jupiter 2 spaceship miniature sold for $180,000.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's some tech money that like God has no idea what to do with.
That's Elon Musk. God. Do we have Mr. Dr. Smith and his cowardly ways?
Talk, more action, please.
Silence, you ninny.
Alien origin indeed, you will inform the ignoramus.
It lowers my thermal balance to a point where all senses perform at optimum efficiency.
Be still, you babbling bird brain. No one is interested in your state of health. Pull, ninny.
I do not recommend sleep, Dr. Smith.
Oh, go away, ninny, go away.
Ah! Out of my way, you ninny!
Just do for me what I do for your aching back, Dr. Smith, and I will be fine.
Indeed, of all the impudence.
My sensors indicate the presence of aliens.
How many?
4 1/8.
4 1/8, indeed. What a sorry specimen of computerhood you really are.
It is all one of the few times.
This guy.
He's very effete.
Yes.
All right, our scores are in.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Gina Grad, congratulations. You made the podium.
Huzzah!
With a score of 845,580.
I'll take it.
Dan Dunn. Solid performance. But your score in at 3,317,775. Adam Carolla. A fantastic run. And you will take a spot just above Dan at 1,659,780.
I want to crunch some of those numbers. I feel like I feel like that's off by like 4.
I'm tempted to call you a ninny right now, Dawson, for this. But
me and Brian.
Ninny.
Yeah.
It's really not me and anyone.
Well, Dan, we'll see if you made the podium. We don't know. Bald Brian, your score... 351,580 for the win.
That's nice a dominating job. Victory.
That is dominant.
We'll tweak that one.
All right. Let me hit Simply Safe, and then we'll do some news. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. These guys are feeling pretty safe about now, whether they have security or not. You people need Simply Safe. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. A quick break. Come right back with news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we'll start off with a quick update on Mr. Ronald Jeremy Hyatt, otherwise known as Ron Jeremy. He did plead not guilty to charges of raping three women and sexually assaulting another in separate attacks back in 2014. The 67-year-old was ordered to remain jail in lieu of a $6.6 million bail. Fox News reports that prosecutors in the case allege Jeremy raped a 25-year-old woman at a home in West Hollywood in 2014, also accused of sexually assaulting two women ages 33 and 46, separate occasions at the same West Hollywood bar in 2017. The final charge against him is allegedly raping a 30-year-old woman at the same bar in July 2019. LA County Sheriff's detectives had been investigating Jeremy for 2 years and presented the case to prosecutors last week. So as we record this, that is what we know.
Well, first Bill Cosby and now this, you know, all your heroes eventually.
I don't know what to believe.
Will disappoint you. Yes.
But I think all of us, perhaps Dan, you never know, we've all had numerous encounters with Ron Jeremy, yes? And
I've met him a few times at the Playboy Mansion. When I used to write for Playboy, he would be there a lot.
Yeah.
can't profess to know the guy, but I have met him.
Can we make he has a lot of musk. He's a very musky man. And can I say this? I don't know what it is. Now, I'm a guy who eats stuff off the ground, has been peed on by all of my friends, had shit smashed my ear in high school famously, and have been through everything. I've slept on the floor. There is something about musky dudes who want to wear their hair long, and there's a kind of long, greasy look, and then they want to hug it out. And when they want to hug it out, you're forced to kind of encounter their hair all the time, which is I do not possess boundaries, but if I did, that's a crossing of the boundary. The weird long hair, greasy. I don't know why. Do you think you look better with it? Like it all it does is contain more of your musk. Like there's just more. There's nothing better than hugging a bald guy, and there's nothing worse than the musky, long, kind of greasy. And as Ron was getting older, his hair was getting longer and like greasier, and he wanted to hug it out more, and it always felt weird.
So are you going to be a witness for the prosecution then?
I will. I mean, anybody who's anyone who's had sex with him I would consider a victim, whether it was consensual or not.
Right.
When you talk about the musk and the long hair, remember many, many moons ago, I dated a white man with dreads who put peanut butter in his hair to get them more dreadlike.
Oh,
peanut
God.
Butter.
I hope
that'd be pretty hot, huh?
So,
I would pray that he was attacked by ravens when he walked down the street.
Hey, let's not forget Ron Jeremy's sweatpants, too. Every time I ever met the guy, it didn't matter where we were, he'd have sweatpants on.
Yeah.
You know, like even at a party. And I'm thinking, is his dick that big that he can't wear jeans? Or
I think
is
we all know the answer to that.
His penis and his panis.
Well, I mean, you'd think he would wear jeans to a party. Be sweatpants.
I don't know. Like when I start thinking to myself, does Ron Jeremy have money? Did he invest wisely? You know, he's got his name on a bunch of penis bills. You know, did he? Yeah. Is he made money from that?
Well, like the story said, he is remaining in jail in lieu of bail. So, I mean, I know that's a lot of money. It's $6
million. That's how you stay rich, you know. That's how you stay rich.
And what was the show he did, the reality show where he and Tammy Faye Baker became like best friends? It was some reality show where all those guys were living in a house together.
Oh, there was like,
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, that thing?
It was like one of those Has Been House
like
or something.
The one with Mini-Me where he was, I think it was.
Yeah, there was a Celebrity House on VH1 with Vern Troy.
I think it was that one, yeah.
Yeah.
The Surreal Life.
Surreal Life.
Surreal Life, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, moving on, I'm sure we've all heard this story by now, but in a long line of people stepping aside or editing old sitcom footage or whatever, continuing this recent pattern of white actors walking away from roles, you know, famously, of course,
Apu.
Thank you. But what's his real name? My God.
Azaria.
Thank you. CBS News reports that Mike Henry announced he will no longer lend his voice to Cleveland Brown on the long-running Fox animated series Family Guy. And he wrote on his Twitter page, "It's been an honor to play Cleveland for 20 years. I love this character, but persons of color should play characters of color. Therefore, I will be stepping down from the role." No immediate word on who's going to fill the role. In other news of that same ilk, Jenny Slate and Kristen Bell recently announced they would no longer voice mixed race characters on Netflix's Big Mouth and Apple's Central Park.
Is it different? So the thing about Cleveland, as you listen, if you hear his voice in your head, it doesn't sound like he's doing a black man. He sounds kind of unique in and of himself. You know what I'm saying?
Like
most people, when they do a black voice, do a black voice. Cleveland doesn't sound like a black voice to me. It sounds like a different kind of voice. I don't know. Like, I feel like you might be able to get a cup spared if you're, I mean, not now, but he was probably willing. We've been pretty woke for a while now. This has been going on for 20 years. I think it's because he did a very unique and different voice that wasn't a quintessential black voice. But either way, what do they do now? They get a black person to do Cleveland's voice that was created by the other guy that didn't sound like a black voice?
I think so.
Oh, what about
recast? Yeah.
And but his
sound alike.
Well, at least in the episodes that I did of Family Guy. Cleveland's wife wasn't played by a black woman either. I think it sounded like Alex Borstein or something. Who played Cleveland's wife? Like in the episode, some of the episodes I did or some that I've seen, didn't seem like there was a, seemed like there was a white. And then in like Bob's Burgers, there's a guy who does a woman's voice. Shouldn't a woman be doing that voice?
Kristen Schaal is the only female actor on that whole show. Tina, the sister, is played by a man. The mom is a man. Everyone's a male except for Kristen Schaal, who plays the little sister.
Well, shouldn't we recast that as well? I mean, shouldn't women be getting those jobs?
Bart Simpson is a woman.
That's right. Turnabout is fair play. Alex Borstein played Loretta Brown. Yeah, she.
Oh.
Alex Borstein, a Jew, played one of yours played his wife. So she to be cast out as well.
In the article, I forgot about that. It's the Haku vodka. She said she stopped playing that role because it really hurt her voice. Like
she was really gravel.
Mm-hmm. Does this mean that I have to stop doing impressions of someone I love and admire and have respected for two decades, Robin Quivers?
Interesting. No. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. Am I not supposed to do that?
Let's ask Robin what she thinks.
Yeah, Robin.
Look, I think it's very flattering. I know Dr. Drew thinks I'm a narcissist in his foolproof test. But I think it's very flattering. If I am a narcissist, I will say that this is flattering. It's something that I respect. I think she does a great job. And I say, girl, you just keep doing what you're doing. And one day, I'd love to have you on the show.
Well, let's see if I can take a turn for the surreal. Robin Quivers.
Yes, Adam.
You know, my news gal, Gina Grad, does a great impression of you. Is that okay?
Oh, interesting. You know, not a lot of people do Robin Quivers. Not that I've heard. Is it very good?
It's spot on. And I don't know if you guys know each other, but I'd say if you got to know each other, you would be bosom buddies.
Oh, is she a buxomy gal?
She's very buxom, yes. And, you know. She can not only sound like you, but probably look like you in a bathing suit.
Well, you know, I've had a nip here and a tuck there. So if that's ever something she wants to talk to me about, I am ready to have that conversation with her.
Mm. All right, Gene, I'm finding this problematic now. I'm sorry we ever did this. Yeah.
This really bums me out because she's my favorite.
The problem.
I've loved her since I was a kid.
The problem with all the symbolism is. It's symbolic. You know what I mean? Like, again, what if we approach...
Indeed.
What if... Yeah, it's got the word symbolic in it. But I mean, like, what if... I don't know. What if dentistry worked this way? Where, like, you had abscess or you had a thing and they're like, I want to talk about the waiting room and the office and your attitude and all the magazines. Are like, I want to get to everything other than your tooth. And my thing is, as a pragmatic person... This is all fine, doesn't really hurt, but as Bill Maher was saying, kind of gets your eye off the prize here a little bit. Yeah,
I just I was intrigued and went down a rabbit hole. Three of my favorite Simpsons characters, Dr. Hibbert, Carl, and the Judge, all black, voiced by white actors.
Mm. Dr. Hibbert.
So it's only both of those, Hibbert and the Judge, voiced by Harry Shearer. The other one, Carl, Hank Azaria.
Are they recasting them, or are they?
They haven't said anything about those, but it's only a matter of time, right?
Yeah. And the thing that makes The Simpsons interesting is you have a white guy doing a black guy, but in terms of like Carl, he's not doing a black guy's voice at all, which is why they're who they are. All right.
Well, and kind of the Judge and Dr. Hibbert. I mean, I thought that Dr. Hibbert is who he is because it was kind of a takeoff on Bill Cosby, but he doesn't, I mean, they don't sound any affected way.
No.
Okay, well, we'll see.
He wears all the sweaters. the Cosby.
That's right. So we have some hot breaking, up to the minute, Gone with the Wind news. I don't know what year it is all of a sudden, but the big story you remember is that that was being pulled from HBO. Well, everybody just clutched the pearls, and now it is back because so many of us were watching it, I guess.
Yes.
So it has returned to HBO Max with a new introduction. We may have talked about this type of thing, that there will probably be more of this, that talks about the movie's depiction of history and racism after it was pulled from the streaming service. So in a 4.5 minute video introduction, Jacqueline Stewart, she's a Black host on American Movie Classics. She begins by welcoming viewers, talking about the movie's history and its undeniable cultural significance. And so you'll just get kind of a little, you know, a spiel about the history of that time period. It was the 1939 Best Picture Oscar winning movie. We talked about that. And screenwriter and novelist John Ridley wrote an op-ed in the LA Times that the streaming service should remove Gone with the Wind. And that was really sort of the catalyst for this campaign. No. But it is back.
Well, listen, first off, it is what it is. We can all see it for what it is. It's like when they put the warnings on for historical smoking. Like, yeah, it's a World War II film, and the guys are smoking Chesterfields in a fucking foxhole. What are we doing here, people? Look, here's the thing about these kind of portrayals or these depictions. You're supposed to see it, and then you're supposed to go, oh, man, I can't believe how bad we were back then. Like, look, at some point, he slaps Scarlett and, like, tells her to get hold of herself. Like, I mean, by the way, you want to talk about super creepy. Is it Rhett Butler? See that the lead character? Rhett Butler, like, he's getting into some strong-armed rape stuff over there. Like, he's throwing her around. He's grabbing her and telling. There's like, a scene where, you know, she's, like, he's drinking. And she, like, comes in the room and he's dressing her down. Like, there's he's physically and verbally abusive. And at some point, he, like, grabs her and goes, we're going upstairs. I'll make a woman of you or something. And, like, basically rapes her in the master bedroom. I'm saying that's all over every movie that's ever been made. Just like there's movies with cops and robbers. Like, you just go, I don't want to be that, or don't do that. But you see it and then go, that's who we were. Let's not be that again. But you don't erase it. Mm-hmm. I don't get how that helps. If you can find Max Zapata, there's this scene where he's like sitting in a study drinking, kind of like what Dan's doing right now. Uh-oh. You better tell your girlfriend to clear out. So he's just sitting there like drinking alone, you know, doing that move where you pour it and then you slam the glass down, then you pour it right out of the bottle again and slam it out. And she like comes into the room and he's like, he's in full blown douche mode. But anyway, all right. So
one quick point there to what you were saying, Adam. I watched this movie recently called The River of No Return from the 1950s with Marilyn Monroe and Robert Mitchum. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a Western. And there was a scene, and to speak to your point about how aren't people able to have some context and go, this is the way it was. It doesn't offend me, but it's crazy to think it was that way, because there's a scene where exactly what you're talking about in Gone with the Wind, where, you know, he grabs her and he's like, no, you're going to, and she's like, leave me alone. And smacks him, and he's like, you want this? And she's like, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No, you don't. And then he like starts kissing her. She's like, no. And then next thing you know, and I'm going, wow, like, that's not going to happen now. But I'm able to realize that the social mores of 70 years ago are different than they are now. And I don't know.
Look no further than Baby, It's Cold Outside. Everybody wanted that song taken off the radio until some historians piped up and said, this was the flirtatious dance of the time. A woman was not allowed to seem forward and to seem willing. She had to say, I have to go, so that the man would beg her to stay. That's a relationship that we don't relate to anymore. So we don't really have the right historical lens. We see it now. We say, that's horrible. Get rid of it. But I certainly didn't have an understanding of that culture of that time.
Yeah.
You mentioned the master bedroom, and I'm so glad you did,
Adam.
Oh,
yeah.
Because that... Oh, here, we have the clip.
Do we have him? I don't... Sitting and drinking alone. This, by the way, this is when acting was acting, baby.
This, he was sitting drinking alone, but we fast forward to the part where he sees...
Okay.
He sees her.
That's you in an hour and a half.
That's right. And Lynette.
Yes, I suppose I am. Even though I know you've been faithful to me all along. How do I know? Because I know Ashley Wilkes and his honorable breed. They're gentlemen. That's more than I can say for you or for me. We're not gentlemen. And we have no honor, have we?
It's taking her up for raping.
It's not that easy, Scarlett.
Forcing a kiss on her.
Kiss on her.
Man knows
turn me
wants.
Out while you chase Ashley Wilkes, while you dreamed of Ashley Wilkes. This is one night you're not turning me out.
Oh, no. Taking her upstairs and rape her. Yeah.
There's two at a time.
Well, that looks like rape to me. He's been drinking. He was the scene before, he's just sitting alone in a study drinking. And now she's come down and he's bringing her upstairs to the master bedroom for a raping. I find that problematic.
Incredibly.
Yeah. Imagine being drunk and carrying someone up carpeted stairs wearing boots, smooth-soled boots. That in of itself is dangerous. Enough. They may not even survive to be raped. You know what I mean?
You have the rape on top of that. You're asking for trouble.
Yes. He's wearing patent leather boots with a buckle on him. He's shit-faced on vermouth, and now he's carrying her up these very padded steps. I think it should be removed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
this podcaster doesn't abide.
Well, he's raping her, right? I mean, he basically was boozing. Yeah. And he just forced a kiss on her and told her she's going upstairs to have sex.
One more night, you're not going to turn me down.
One night, you're not turning me down.
That's right.
Jesus.
No, I mean,
yeah,
but
maybe we do need that full disclosure at the beginning.
Now, you guys ask me any movie, I'll tell you the rape scene. That's how I work. I'm an encyclopedia of rape. I don't know about stats or scores or who was in it or what year it was made or anything, but I do know the rape scene.
Shawshank Redemption.
Didn't they say in Last Tango in Paris that he actually, didn't the actress come out later and say that he actually raped her while they were making the movie?
He
made her have sex making the movie. Brando had, who's the director? Bertolucci, I think, did that one, but said, you know, they had actual sex when they were making the movie. And then many years later, she came out and said they basically told her to do it.
That was an insane movie for its time. And a lot of nudity back in the day when there wasn't a lot of nudity around. And so even if it was a shitty art house film, it had titties and ass in it. And you just watched that movie. Yeah, Last Tango in Paris. It was a big movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, probably. But so what I'm saying is guys used to treat their wives that way back then. And there were slaves and there were all sorts of horrible things back then. But that's why they have it depicted in the movie about back then. If he said, hey, sweetie pea, you need a neck rub. You were right. I went vegan a week ago, and I've never felt better about myself. Then we'd go, hey, that's probably not a clear depiction of that time. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That being said, Django, the first half is very hard to watch. Second half, cathartic as fuck, and everybody loves that movie.
I agree.
What about shows? What about modern shows that show things the way they were back then? Is that like Mad Men, for instance? Okay. Rampant sexism, all of that that's depicted in a modern show or fairly modern show that shows all of that. Is that a show that's going to be revisited years from now? And they're going to be like, we got to take that off now because it's showing.
We will get to everything.
Yeah.
They will get to everything. All right. What else you got, Gina?
Well, we've got to talk about the master bathroom, because we talked about it on this show long ago, and it is coming to fruition. That term is officially canceled when it comes to describing bedrooms and bathrooms, at least in Houston. If you're searching for a home there, this is according to TMZ. The Houston Association of Realtors is no longer using the word master to hype the bedrooms and all this stuff. They are calling it the primary bathroom and the primary bedroom. The change, by the way, happened earlier this month, very quietly, after several members demanded a review of the language. And TMZ says the other masters are already on the way out. The Court of Master Sommeliers, which I don't think we hear too often, maybe Brian does, they are no longer...
Dan knows.
Yeah, of course.
A guy came out the other day, one of the right. Master Sommeliers. He resigned, but that was more about inclusivity. And,
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. I was only going to say, like, in that context, it's like saying you're a master carpenter or you're a master, chess master.
You have your master's degree.
You've mastered this thing. That gets into my...
I don't think he resigned because of the term master. I think he resigned because of the there's not a lot of inclusivity in that group, in the Court of Master Sommeliers, and yeah.
I hear you. I was commenting on what Gina was describing, which is one of the things I hate. I've mentioned on the show before, not racist things, things that remind you of racist things. Like Court of Master or Chess Master. It's like, he's not a slave owner. He's master of the art of chess.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, you know, there is, you know, something like master bedroom. Okay, if the master of the house lived there and it was a plantation and that's why they call it the master bedroom, then you can draw a line. It's still insignificant. It's not going to fix anything, but you can draw a line from there to there. Master carpenter, no. The masters, probably the golf tournament. I don't think
the master. Are you a master baiter or aren't you?
Easy. I was going to say, when I get off this Zoom, am I primary baiting now later? What's going on? You know,
but there is master and slave cylinders and master and slave in the computer world. And that is kind of this thing is telling that thing what to do.
Hey, what about the BDSM community?
A lot
of that. The Dom and
problematic.
That's right. Sub Dom. Yeah. Something to think about.
Diving into that later.
Well, you please let us know.
It's going to be more Cruisin rum. Getting ready. Yeah.
Some bad news for Dan and his buddies. If you haven't already heard as we record this, Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered all bars closed in 7 counties. That includes ours, Los Angeles County, and recommended that 8 other counties close their nightlife as well on Sunday due to a rise in the spread of coronavirus. The state's news release says, quote, bars are social environments where groups of people mix. In these environments, alcohol consumption reduces inhibition and impairs judgment, leading to reduced compliance with recommended core personal protective measures. Basically, you get drunk and you get real close to people.
I went out to eat last night and they modified the rules. You had to wear the mask to walk across the restaurant, but now your server is like 6 feet away from your table. And then you put the mask on and then they can come closer. But then there's this weird dance where they stand about 4 feet away and just lean over and hand you stuff. It doesn't seem very scientific. It's like they're technically doing a lot of that, but it's doesn't seem that practical, but they've modified it a little bit.
Yeah. And speaking of that, apparently this does not include places that serve food. So this is specifically for bars and clubs. Oh. I was in Temecula last night and we went to this, you know, little like kind of, I guess you could say high-ish and little kind of fun restaurant called the Cowgirl Saloon. And Temecula is pretty fast and loose with the mask wearing. Mm-hmm. And they're not treating it like LA County does. And all the waitresses wore masks, but everyone at the table had, it just didn't apply down there.
Well, I'm in Venice. Gina. And so I went to a place on a couple of nights ago called Hatchet Hall, which had a whole outdoor, they converted their parking lot into a restaurant and they've done a really great job. They got tables and they're spacing it out. Then later I had some friends say they wanted me to meet them at this another place. I won't name the bar, but it's on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice. And I got there and I looked in and I went, turned to my friend and I said, the bars will be shut down in Los Angeles within the next week. Because I looked in there and there were 300 people. I don't think I saw five masks among them. It's a very young, this bar caters to a young crowd. And I looked in and I thought, you know, I'd probably be doing the same thing too if I was in my 20s. But I said to my, this was on Friday, I said, we're closing down.
No, it's Dan Nostradamus.
Real quick, because when Florida closes down and Texas closes down, you know California's closing down. Yeah.
You were in the mood for turtle racing?
Oh, I love that place.
Did I guess the place right? Yeah.
Don't point at the turtles.
Yeah, that's the spot I'm talking about.
All right. What else you got, Gina?
Well, in terms of the coronavirus and the stimulus checks, I don't think it does sound like an Onion article, but it is not. And I don't think we're terribly surprised. MSNBC reports that more than a million Americans who have died have received stimulus payments, COVID-19 stimulus payments, totaling $1.4 billion, according to a government watchdog group. The findings part of a sweeping review of the federal government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic by the Government Accountability Office, which is an independent, nonpartisan congressional agency. Congress passed this massive $2 trillion stimulus package called the CARES Act in March to soften the economic blow for everybody or a lot of people. But it seems a lot of that ended up going to people who are no longer among the living. So that was about $1.5 billion went to dead people by accident.
Many of those folks are going to vote in our next election. If you watch Fox, Chicago, you will find out that many will vote. Now, here's my whole thing. I tell people all the time, like when they go, don't you want the system to fix the system or the broken or the broken schools or the system? Like, these people need more research. I'm like, I think the government are kind of fuck ups. I think if you, one thing you should glean from this, the last 4 months of our existence is the government fucks up a lot. Like, they're not that good at things and they're not that good at taking care of their citizens. They do, you know, maybe they do okay with the military and they do okay with the, you know, the freeway overpasses and things like that. I
mean,
you know,
do great with taxes.
Taxes, they're always Johnny on the spot. Parking tickets, wildly efficient. Like, they do good things. They're good at collecting money, like meter maids and taxes. And then they're good at spending money, like big industrial military complex kind of stuff. Like, they seem to do okay. They're not that good at the inner city schools and the smaller things. No. And
the customer service stuff.
Right. And so when people are more than ever, like, marching, and they want change and they want to be counted and they want this and they want that, I'm like, I wouldn't count on the government changing your life that much, because again, they just gave a million dead people checks and there's a, the list goes on and on. My feeling is now this is a great, you know, we go, you know, the government, they fucked up this whole COVID thing and they fucked up the reimbursement thing and they fucked this up and everything's a systemic. All right. Systemic racism. They invented racism, or at least they kept it going. My thing is like, maybe they're not that good at what they do. I mean, both sides. Maybe Trump's not that good at what he does, and maybe Nancy Pelosi's not that good at what she does. But my thing is get your own shit together. Get your family together. Get trained. You look, you want protection? Go fucking take a jujitsu class or go get licensed and have a gun and use it at the range. What I mean, it's like, I don't know about the cops. I don't know about the government. I don't know about these people helping you or your family. They're not going to. At best, they're going to do is sort of, you know, put a Band-Aid on whatever wounds you have. They're just not there. They're not going to make, you can't flourish with the government. You can be maintained by the government. You know, it's like, oh, look at all this housing and look at all these food stamps and these welfares, this cheap this and this government cheese. Yeah, it's the least amount someone can live off of. That's what they're going to do. So if you'd like to flourish, if you're thinking about flourishing versus existing, you may want to get away from the government. You may want to start thinking about your own business or your own ideas or your own plans for a family or community. And maybe stop thinking about what the government's going to do for you? Because what I've learned is the government is not good at doing things for people, right and left. So why don't you just treat your own little house like it's the White House, and treat your not master bedroom, your
primary
bedroom like it's the Oval Office, and take care of your own fucking business. I don't, what is this thing? It's like, we do this thing. It's like, why is the government doing more of this? And then we're disappointed and wounded. Like, they haven't done enough. I've looked around. I've been around long enough. Look, the beginning of my beloved TV show, Good Times. You watch an episode of Good Times, like, oh, we live in this shitty project and everything sucks and welfare and food stamps. Like, that's from the 70s. Okay, now you go look at how much of the projects change. How much is the low-income housing change? What has the government done for whatever J.J. Walker, J.J. Dynamite Walker, all those guys, that whole Good Times family? Good Times hit the air in like 1975, probably, maybe 76. All right, it's been 40 years or 45 years. When did Good Times come out? And would that family be any different today living in the south side of Chicago? Maybe they'd be dead because they would have gotten shot because now they've recalled the police. 1974. So that shit is 46 years old, and that family be in the exact same fucking shape they are right now, except for one of the brothers would have been shot and he'd be dead by now. So what else do you want the government to do? You really? That's it? I'm going to count on the government. I'm going to blame them. I'm going to tell them they need to do more. I want accountability. Good fucking luck. Life fucking travels fast. It's fucking more than half over for me. Think I ever worry about what the fucking government's going to do for me? No. Same. Go out and make some hay while the goddamn sun shines.
Sounds like somebody needs some forged gin.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Can I say one thing as the booze guy? I'm thinking these checks could be the government's way of like pouring some out for their homies. You pour some out for your dead homies, man.
That's poetic, Dan.
They were Good Times with Chicago projects, right?
Yeah, like Cabrini Green.
Well, I'll try to figure it out. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I'm going to be in Tempe Improv earning some non-government money at Tempe, Arizona, coming up July 3rd and 4th. We're going to do live shows there and stand-up shows there. So both Dallas, Texas, coming up end of July at Addison. So I'm going to all the
hot spots. Any more hot spots you want to hit?
I'm going to be in Milan, Italy.
Probably the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah. So I'm traveling and I'm hitting the hot spots and heating them up. All right. You can get my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's up for order now. They're going to replenish soon enough on Amazon. Dan Dunn, what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. Yes. We love Dan Dunn. And the Twitter, the imbiber, is, well, thanks, y'all. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina and Brian and Dan Dunn saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. You can order it, the hardback, on Amazon, and they'll get it to you right away. Audiobook and Kindle available now. Links at adamcarolla.com.